Hey guys, Casey here doing a bottle episode. Just wanted to do a bottle episode on Kimmy, a movie that was released this year. It's available on HBO Max, YouTube, and Apple TV and Google Play. Before I get into the episode, I just want to give you guys a couple of updates as to why your boy hasn't really been able to create or produce any as much episodes as of late. So I don't have my job at the movie theater anymore, and I'm currently in a musical, so my time has sort of been diverted for a little bit, and I was a little sad about not having my job at the movie theater anymore. And mostly I just had to do some soul searching myself personally before I really approached talking to other people again. Bit of a dry spell for me personally, but your boy's still here, and my love for movies has never died, and my will to go after being in these major films that I review and I critique hasn't died either. And of course, as some of you guys already know, who like, you know, the hardcore fans, I do this podcast because I love to catalog and go through a whole lot of movies. I love movies, and I really want to be in them. So a part of being in the movies is that you got to watch a lot of movies. And this podcast and you guys listening and leaving reviews or giving me any feedback at @official_casey_amoi is going to help me relate to you guys as the audience who likes to watch movies yourselves. And just people who can help me understand the best way to tell you guys or talk to you guys and get more listeners if anybody else is really interested in hearing what I have to say. Anyway, I have gone through the negative side of just not having the job anymore, and it's really being quietly replenished by the fact that I'm an actor and I'm in this show and performing. So yeah dude, that's what's going on my side of the street. So back to Kimmy. Kimmy is, I want to say Kimmy's an amazing movie as far as thrillers go, because at least if I can say this personally, like story wise, I resonate a little bit with Angela Childs, the character Zoe Kravitz plays in this movie, just as someone who's been traumatized. I couldn't help but root for her, and I think you guys can't help but root for her as well. Admittedly, she does get really annoying or irritating, and I say I guess because I really find it hard to find someone who's having a hard time in life, or who's been like a victim, or in this case, in Angela Child's case, who's been a victim of sexual assault. Forgive me for repeating. Definitely not a malfunction there. A victim of sexual assault, whether it be a man or a woman, has their own faults in their own in their own personality that does tend to make them difficult with other people. It all comes down to or depends on your level of sensitivity to others. In any case, story-wise, it's pretty exciting. Here we have Angela Childs, a victim of sexual assault, and compounding that with the fact that she's recently lost her father, and she's surviving COVID. She's a post-COVID survivor, as we all are, which I think is one of the main things that's going to hit close to home with a lot of you guys. She hears a sexual assault crime taking place from one of the devices that she is a technician for. She works from home as a service technician for Siri knockoffs that are called Kimmies. I gotta say, really getting into the early start of the story, it's exceptionally slow, but it's really establishing a lot of the ground for the story. And by that, I mean, you have little plot points, things that you can kind of go back to and understand, oh, this is how and why this is happening to this person and why it's really imperative that she owns her own power. Plus, as far as these stories goes about when it concerns sexual assault, I gotta say, I really love it when it's a woman who is taking her power back. Excuse Warbucks in the background there. Who takes her power back. I just love a woman who takes her power back. So, story-wise, it's a slow start, a slow burn in the beginning. But once the excitement, you know, really rolls in, once that real moment of when it really sets in that she's listening to a crime and it's triggering her and she can't ignore it, you're in for a really wild ride. Acting. Zoe Kravitz and Devin Rattray. I say Rattray, but it's Devin Rattray. Jacob Vargas and Robin Givens and Byron Bowers, these people, including the work of Jamie Camille, Erica Christensen, and Rita Wilson, I have to say, they're like really, 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 really powerful characters. And I say that not as someone who's like really talking about the fact that it's like poignant or it's like life changing, but they're just powerful characters in that they all stand in polar opposite to Angela in so many ways. I also personally, for the film nerds out there, I find it funny that Devin Rattray has lived a long life in film, that he went from being like Biff to now he's a Kevin. I think that's kind of funny. That's a Home Alone joke for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about. In that same vein, I've watched enough films long enough to watch Will Smith turn into Uncle Phil and Biff turn into an old Kevin. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Other than that, acting is truly superb, and I can really feel the cold, remorseless personality of Antonio, or Jamie Camille in this case, as like this antagonist who's just like representing this major corporation, and he's and he's set all of the nails in place to like put the nail in the coffin, as it were. And you'll understand why I use the nail analogy. It's pretty cool. I find it pretty awesome. Anyway, costuming concerns, I have none. As far as costuming is concerned, it's bar none basic. I mean, we know who's the lawyer. We know that Angela is usually at home a lot. So her running around away from people or going towards people in offices in some Uggs is not going to like, it's not off-putting, you know? I read a random like review somewhere else. Someone made a comment about the fact that Angela uses her headphones with her hair being stuck in the ears. I'm kind of like, that's a little too nitpicky there for me. I love her blue hair. I don't think it really matters, but hey, to each his own. Then I think of the music. I'm going to tell you this right now. The music is without a doubt the most amazing guided piece of this whole movie. It's one of the most amazing guide pieces that I've ever seen in a movie since like Fear Street. And I loved Fear Street because it gave us the soundtrack gave us a canvas of each time period in which the stories are told. In this case, you have music that really informs us of where things can go wrong, where things get curious, and where the sounds of life are really some of the best things that give us an idea or a clue of what's going to happen next. In that specifically, I mean like the construction that's being done over Angela Child's apartment. It plays a really important part in the story. Again, I love her redemption. It's honestly, it's tip top for me. And Andy Daly also makes a good appearance there as well. And I bring up Andy Daly mostly because his kids are constantly in the background in his scene. Again, it lends to how crazy and how crazy specific the music is in this piece. I like it. Anyway, down to the cinematography. So we covered story, acting, costuming, music, and now we're at the cinematography, the last part. I gotta say, it's a little cliche. Just a little bit. Cliche bits are the little cliche bits of cinematography are in our close-ups and our range in and our zoom-ins and our close-ups to different characters from across the street. There's a whole part, y'all, where Angela is just watching other people and other people are watching Angela from their windows. I mean, I think that's a little cliche, just a bit. That and just the shaky, trembling steady cam of someone running away can be pretty cliche. Now, what makes this really different and really specific that I have to praise Steven Soderbergh for this is the fact that in our following of Angela from her apartment to her headquarters or her office, I gotta say that was like one of the most exciting parts of watching this whole movie is having just like some of the best shots of panning out but shaking at the same time to just really express the pressure she's going through as she's leaving her apartment and going out to work to do the good thing, or do the right thing rather, which is be a good Samaritan about reporting a crime. Which, interestingly enough, it kind of speaks to Amazon and it kind of pokes fun at that. Not poke fun. I think it just pokes at Amazon, period. In any case, cinematography-wise, Steven Soderbergh sticks to the script as far as structure goes with thrillers, but it only presents finite differences within close-ups and pan outs when we're watching characters travel, watching them fight, or tracking characters from whence one person is leaving their apartment or leaving their office or entering their home to going back in. I think the cinematography is actually pretty on point. That and the music and the soundtrack here is actually really incredible. Without further ado, I think that's really about it. Kimmy is a fairly decent movie, as far as thrillers go. There are better ones out there, but I wouldn't discount this or count it out, because there's some really rewarding parts of it. Within the acting of Zoe Kravitz or Rita Wilson, I kind of dig it. And it's nice to see Robin Givens on the screen again, as well as Devin Dutrey and Andy Daly. And it's always a pleasure to see Jacob Vargas at work. I love Jacob Vargas. I loved him when he was in, it's escaping me right now, but he was in The Devil, if my memory serves. I believe he was definitely in Selena. I loved him in Selena. He definitely was an American Me. But my favorite one that I go to is Devil. Yes, Devil, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's always a joy personally for me, just a little bit of a favorite, to see Jacob Vargas at work. And of course, I can't forget Next Friday. He definitely wasn't Next Friday. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's it.
Oh my God, thank you so much for spending some time with me on Flick Through Friday. Please let me know if I've been of any help, if I have been any help to you at all. Let me know in the comments on my Instagram and or Facebook. Please be unafraid to shoot me a DM. I am always looking to improve. Once again, I appreciate you making it to the end. You have no idea how much I truly appreciate all of you, each and every one of you. So sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And I will talk to you next time on Flick Through Fridays.